I'm going to, the Lord being my helper, try to find my rhythm here and get in the flow and preach to you and not take too much of your time. for the ones of you that wasn't here last Sunday night, I done a little better, didn't I? For the ones of you, y'all give me a witness, the ones of you that was here. Kind of quiet. But I really did do a lot better. Looks like it's about 7:35. So I hope. All right. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I illustrated today with the way Rebecca toward her family and brought division and caused the unity to be destroyed in her family. She plucked away at it with her hands. And Hannah, she built her house. She prayed. She put Samuel in an unsafe place in a hostile environment. But with the faith of her prayer, God sustained him and used him. Praise God. So I want to use that same title tonight, The Man and the Mother. And with that in mind, I'd like to take you to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 1. I'll read about 5 verses there. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders, which were in Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Praise God. Right here in Acts chapter 16 is the first time that we are introduced to the man Timothy. Sometimes it's referred to in the New Testament as Timothy here in this passage. And really I found more verses with the pronunciation Timotheus more than I did Timothy, but at least 23 or 24 other scriptures mentions his name. And I realized very quickly in this little study that I'd done in the past couple of days that from this moment, there was a drawing. There was something that drew Paul to Timothy. Paul understanding. Now, you know, if you heard Paul and you read his writings as we have, Paul was, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He didn't mind to relate his credentials or his pedigree, if you will, and tell all of those things. If he could boast in those things, he said, I above all could. I was a Pharisee as touching the law, a Pharisee. I persecuted the church. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was all of those things that I was. Amen. Amen. After a while, he could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. But that's what he was. Amen. And so, you know, his roots were very, very deep in the nation, but he realizes that Timotheus does not have the same credentials that he has. He is only a half Jew. His mother, his grandmother on his maternal side are Jewish, but his father is a Greek. Amen. I don't want to get lost in the weeds here, but you just have to understand the time and the place they were. And even though Paul was very systematic and very thorough and very straight with his teaching about the law, and it almost seems contradictory that nobody said anymore in the New Testament about circumcision and about how unneedful that it was and taken under the law. No one done that more than Paul. but realizing where he was and the people he was around and the people that he wanted Timothy to be able to be a blessing to, he said, before we can do anything, Timothy's going to have surgery. We're going to have to take him. And Paul himself, if I understand the scriptures right, took Timotheus and circumcised him. So because everybody in that area, now he might could have went somewhere else and people wouldn't have known. They could just got by knowing who his mother was. But everybody in that area knew that his father was a Greek. Are y'all still here? So Paul felt that needful to, not for salvation, do not get that cross, not for salvation. But how many knows that sometimes for our testimony, come on now, if we want to be an influence among the people we are around, and if we are going to influence the people that God sent us to minister to, there are some times that we have to do some things that may not be 100% necessary. Can somebody say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Lord, to move on here. Amen. But nevertheless, Paul the apostle realized this young man has a spirit. He has something that I can use. Amen. And if you start following the pages, you will understand. Again, until I've done this little search, I did not realize many of the epistles, many of the letters that the apostle Paul, he would start out, he would say, he would identify himself, and he would say Silvanus and Timotheus, as though they were even helping him, and probably were, Brother Arnold, actually helping him write those letters that Paul was going to send. Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody would say praise the Lord. And we have them right here, and they're in your Bible, and you can read them. And Timothy was there. No doubt in my mind that Timothy was elevated. Amen. He was put in the place. I think we could say he was Paul's right-hand man. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You say, oh, I'd like to do that. I'd like to be in that place. I'd sure like to have that position that Timothy must have enjoyed to be right there. Amen. With Paul. Amen. We know that Timothy was one of the pastors of the very young New Testament church. Oh, yes, he was. A lot of things that God had allowed Timothy to be up close to and see firsthand. Thank God for, if nothing else, thank God Paul loved Timothy to be able to actually write personal letters that were sent to him that we yet can get a hold of that are in the Bible you're holding and read those things, amen, that come from a man that loved this young man so much that he said, I'm going to invest myself in him. I'm going to pour my ministry into him. I believe God is with him. I believe he has a good spirit. And thank God, amen, we all should be able to rejoice in the fact that Paul took a liking to Timothy. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. Many times Paul had to press right into Timothy. He's young. He's a young pastor. He's timid. Amen. Now, I'm putting a little of my commentary in here. Again, probably it sounds like that Timothy's father was probably removed from the family and possibly didn't have that male fatherly influence on Timothy. Amen. But how many knows that Maul and Paul, amen, Paul, P-A-U-L, amen, and mother and grandmother made up for that. Amen. Thank God for those times that the Apostle Paul kind of pressed into that timid young man and that young pastor and kind of bucked him up a little bit. Amen. And said, come on, boy. Come on, boy. Come on. Amen. Thou therefore, my son. That's who he was talking to when he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Man, I wish I could preach in here tonight. We need some moms and some dads. Amen. We don't want to raise a crop of sissy boys. We need some mamas that will say, young man, you are a boy. Remember, I'm preaching about the man and the mother. There's a relationship that a mother needs to have with her son. Amen. And it's not to make them a little sissy or a little girly-fied young man. No, no, no. You got to raise those little boys that God give you and tell them you're the one that's going to make the living. You're the one that needs to be the spiritual leader. You're the one that needs to support the church. You're the one, if there's any battles to be fought, that needs to be out there fighting them. Make a man out of that little boy. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I got to hurry. Is that all right? Are y'all getting the picture? Y'all got it. I mean, Timothy was close to Paul. Paul was close to him. Paul loved him. Even times he refers to him as his son. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. And many, many times I can hear those words from 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We quote them so many times. Please stay with me. Try to catch up with me. I'm hopping just trying to save time. And we're fast forwarding a long ways here. But it finally comes that time that Paul is arrested. He is put into prison. This time he's not going to get out. There's no angel that's going to come down and rescue him. This time he is going to stay in that maritime prison in Rome until the executioners will knock on his door and say, Paul, come on out. Amen. We're going to take your life. That's where he was when he writes this letter. Amen. We quote it so many times. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. But I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. And the church says, amen, Brother Paul. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I have my doubts that he was writing it that way. Amen. That's the way we quote it. A lot of times we do. I do sometimes when I'm exhorting in a service. I want to get people up there. Paul said, I fought a good fight. But he's in a dirty, nasty, my God, bug-ridden rats, no doubt, of every size and proportion. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Where sanitation is non-existent. He's there to rot, amen, until they come and get him. And you see, he's needing something. And I find it in that next verse, that very next verse, verse number 9. Amen. How many still with me here? Amen. I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. He said, all of those that love his appearing, verse 9 says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Amen. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Timothy. He's writing to a young man he's poured his life into. He's writing to a young man he's poured his ministry into. But now the tables are turned. Amen. And he's saying, come, son. Come to me. I need you. I need your embrace. I need your encouragement. I need you to be close to me again. I mean, he knows that Timothy done his best to get there as soon as he could. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The man and his mother. Amen. Hallelujah. The man and the mother. Praise God. Timothy, don't be afraid and don't be ashamed of my bonds. Don't be afraid to come and stand outside my prison cell and be identified with me. I know the executioners are coming. I'm not sure some of y'all are getting the picture here, but I'm trying to paint it real good for you here. It's not always like we read it when we just go down through here reading it. Timothy, I need you. Amen. I was there for you when you needed me. I was that father figure. Amen. I bucked you up. I encouraged you. I held you up. I exhorted you. I pushed you. But now hurry, hurry, Timothy. Hurry, hurry. I need you. Come shortly. I don't know how long it'll take for this letter to get to where you are. And I don't know how long it'll take for you to get everything in order where you can come to me. But as soon as you can. As soon as you can. I need you here. God, help me to preach right now. Hallelujah. Woo! But I find in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy that the good, great apostle Paul affectionately credits. Amen. Woo! Grandmother Lois, amen. Somebody say hallelujah. And mother Eunice, amen. Oh, Timothy, you're a great man. You preach with the best. You was there when the great sermons went from flowed from the pen of Paul. You may have encouraged some of them. You may have helped him with wording with some of them. Amen. But Paul understands. Amen. It is the very letter that I've just read to you. Amen. Where I read to you is finishing it up. Paul will write no more letters. Paul will write no more epistles. This one is the very last one that he will sign with his name and send it. Amen. But Brother Arnold, he opened that letter. Amen. With saying, when I call to remembrance. Hallelujah. I'm trying to weep right now and I'm wanting to preach. He said, when I call to remembrance, I need you to come to me. I need you to get here as fast as you can. I need you to bring my coat and I need you to bring the parchments. All of those things he told Timothy to bring. But he also said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded. Hallelujah, church. Come on, get a hold of this tonight. He said, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I knew they were Jewish. Amen. I knew them back when I first met you in Acts chapter 16. Amen. They were good women. They had a good report. They were retaining their integrity with God. And something makes me think that they imparted a little bit of that into you. Oh, hallelujah. That's the man, Timothy. That's the mother. Amen. Praise God. If you would look in chapter 3, just previous verses to where we read there in chapter 4, he is still accrediting them. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. Who do you think influenced Timothy as a child? As a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You know who he's crediting for that? He's crediting Lois, Sister Lois, and Sister Eunice. Amen. If you run some of these Greek words out, other people smarter than me have learned this, that's talking about the holy scriptures. That would be like us sending our children to kindergarten to learn the ABCs. Lois and Eunice taught Timothy the ABCs of Christianity. Hallelujah. Oh, God help me. I wish I had time and energy and strength right now to go back and start thanking all those godly women, amen, that God put in my life that taught me the ABCs. Amen. The ABCs. Amen. What about that little lady, amen, that we call Sister Emma Noe, that took me and R.B. Bryant, and sometimes it was just me and him and maybe one or two others, and he was a little rowdy, and when I was around him, I'm going to blame it all on him. I had a tendency to follow along, amen, but there was a little woman that felt God's call. You didn't have to nominate her. She would hold out her hand up and tell the pastor, this is what I feel like I'm called to do. And I am telling you right now, that mother in my life, Brother James, to this day I can tell you stories. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Emma knows she's an older lady. Y'all, some of your kinfolks, I think, Brother Arnold, older lady. Amen. And Sister Helen Bryant was the bouncer. She kept law and order. Amen. While Sister Emma taught us about Jesus. I can't hardly help it when I get like this. I get to crying and I can't preach when I cry. But oh, I thank God. I thank God for those. The unfeigned faith. Hallelujah. When I bring to remembrance, there had to be somebody in your life teaching you the ABCs. Then when Paul come along, because he knew his ABCs, he could say, come on, boy. Now I'll encourage you a little bit. I'll make a soldier out of you. I'll make a man. I'll make a preacher out of you. I'll make a pastor out of you. I can use you because somebody taught you. Sister Gayla, I heard Sister Lola George saying, you had some godly women in your life teaching you the ABCs. And with all the things you've been through and all the trials you've been through, I have to thank that ABCDEFG. Oh, how I love Jesus. Praise God. All of those things has to come back. When I call, what, who are you calling right now to remembrance? This is Sunday night. This is not the main service on Sunday morning. I'd just like to do a few exercises with you. Who do you call to remembrance when you think of the ABCs of your life? Amen. Who influenced you? Say, well, I want to be like that preacher. I want to. I really do. And I'm not boasting, but I have people call. I had a call today. I mean, just today. And I'm not. God, I speak as a fool. God knows I'm a fool. I'm nothing. I'm the least of the least. But I get calls saying, why is your church successful? What are y'all doing? Can you tell me what to do? Can you show? And I'm not bragging. Matter of fact, if there's any bragging, it'd be on you. I got one just today, right before church. You know what I told him? I said, if there's anything I can put my finger on, it's prayer. Prayer revival in January. Sunday night prayer meetings before. Amen. I know. I'm a connoisseur of preaching. I love preaching. I know good preaching when I hear it. I enjoy good preaching that some people don't get anything out of. I love preaching. But preaching, I know greater preachers than me that don't have revival. Oh, you know what I want to do? I want to thank God for those. Amen. I didn't know y'all were going to be here tonight, so this is not planned. Amen. I love my dad. Brother Dale Crawford was my mentor. I'm telling you, God put some great, great people in my life. My dad was my dad, my father, and my pastor. I'm not taking anything. You understand me? I'd be afraid to do it in the presence of God in the church house. And I thank you for everything you taught me. But I'm going to step around behind you. This little lady right here is the woman that taught me to pray. So your dad's a big time preacher. He didn't teach you to pray. Oh yes, he sure did. We prayed in our home almost every day. Many times, twice a day. Besides the times we prayed over our food. Amen. But Brother Arnold, when I was a young man, I mean, we had to do it. I know it's different with a lot of people now. But when we was old enough to get a job, when I turned 13 years old, I went to work for Uncle Bill Yoakum. And I learned how to work hard. And I'm telling you, there was no pity or no mercy. When we pulled up to the job site, that's when the sympathy ended and the work began. We didn't take a break unless he took a break. And most of the time when he took a break, I'd have rather been working because he scared me to death. Him and his older brother that already had cancer, they'd sit around and fight, nearly getting a fist fight nearly every time. If it wasn't for Aunt Dorothy going along with us to break them up, I think they probably would have. I mean, they kept things agitated all the time. And somehow they thought keeping us all upset was getting more work out of us. The only thing I can think of. And another thing, he believed in going to work early. My dad's a light sleeper, you understand? Can I do this? Sometimes he'd be up all night. You get up all hours of the night, he didn't hardly sleep. Light sleeper, sometimes pray nearly all night. But when I got up way before daylight, then my mom come and made the eggs, fixed my breakfast before I walked out the door. We knelt down. Mom, I need to go. Mom, I'm already supposed to be there. It'll just take a minute. Am I telling the truth? Where you at, Dustin? I don't see you. Praise God. And I will ever, forever be grateful for the one that taught me the ABCs. Amen. I'm calling. Is it all right? Is it okay if I do this? I'm calling to remembrance. And while I'm doing this, I'm wanting you to do the same thing. But I tell you, where God put me on that homestead, it didn't matter which way I went. Amen. I was being reminded. It was like my mother Ethel and my grandmother Walsie. Amen. And I'm telling you, every place I went, it was reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. We couldn't get by with nothing. We couldn't get by with telling a little story. I'm telling you, we couldn't do it. She had a way of finding out. When we go to the creek and we're supposed to wear our life jacket, and we'd wear them till just we got out of sight of Grandma. I don't know how she knew. One day Rodney fell in the creek, he didn't have one of his life jacket. First thing he done was walk over and grab that life jacket and soaked it real good so we could head back to the house with it, because he knew he had to show Grandma his wet clothes. And that life jacket need to be wet too. But still yet somehow she figured it out. It was constantly being reinforced. And that's the way it was in Timothy's life. Amen. And I know Aunt Shirley wasn't just like us. And I know there was a little bit of difference there. But you know what? When I went to her house, she had her Bible out. And she had her concordance out. Is this okay? Every place I went, I was being surrounded. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know. And I can't go back and preach it all. I'll talk to you today about Lemuel. And God showed me some things I'd never seen before. And, you know, Brother Tommy, I never had used that. Never heard anybody used it. And I thought I was going to come to the pulpit with something brand new this morning. And Brother Carlton got in Sunday school class. And I told April, said, I thought I was going to be the first one to ever hear anybody elaborate on that. And here he's the first one. Do you know what? That was a confirmation. Amen. That I was on the right track. Oh, hallelujah. Can I preach just a little bit longer? I pray. We go over and we read in the 11th chapter. And I'll do that to condense it. The 11th chapter. And I see a man that led God's people out of years of bondage. Who is that man out there holding that rod over that sea? Who is that? Who is that man that's giving them getting water out of the rock? Who is that man that he threw down his rod and it became a serpent? I hear somebody say, that's Jochebed's boy. That's Jochebed's boy. That's Jochebed and Amram's boy. Hallelujah. There's about five verses about Moses and what all he done. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Amen. But one verse before that, I think it's verse 23, if you're looking at it there, it says, by faith. Are y'all enjoying this half as much as I am? One little verse, Brother Bruce, by faith. Moses' parents hid him when he was born because they saw that he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Amen. Praise God. Moses would have never held the rod over the sea if it hadn't been for a Levite man and a Levite woman. Amen. That come together in marriage and give birth to three children. Hallelujah. Amram and Jochebed. And they said, when the king said, we're going to put them boy babies in the Nile River, they said, No. Amen. Not my boy. He's a proper child. I preached about Lemuel this morning. He had the prophecy. His mother taught him the prophecy. And I want to tell you something today. I don't want anybody going. Maybe some left this morning thinking, well, I don't have a prophecy. And if I left you with that, I left you unclear. The Word of God is filled with prophecies for your children. Get a hold of them and find you one of them and stand on it. You do have a prophecy. Praise God. When I called remembrance the unfeigned faith. So, oh, preacher. You told that so many times. Amen. Brother Todd, I loved it. Amen. And your mom, we're not, there's a whole lot of difference in our ages. And I knew him growing up. And you know, I know it's not easy. Maybe it's okay. But you know, I knew, and I know, Mamaw. By the way, how's she doing? Mamaw Davis. Praise God. But I knew Grandpa Davis. And Grandpa Davis was sort of like, he was sort of like Timothy's dad. He wasn't, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I mean, facts are facts. He just wasn't everything he needed to be. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Are y'all still here? Come on. God's a judge. He can do what he wants to do, but I'm just talking about some of you because I know I'm talking to folks right now and I'm trying to buck you up. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to get you to get your big boy clothes on. Amen. And let's press on for God. It's not always easy. And it wasn't always easy living with us. Are y'all still here? Boy, I just nailed it, didn't I? Amen. But I tell you what, Mamaw Davis. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith of Otisa and Mamaw, I call her Mamaw Davis too. And Brother Todd, I cannot help but believe that it is in you also. Woo! Hallelujah. Mamaw Davis had a bunch of children. Maybe Papaw wasn't everything he needed to be. But she went on to revival anyway and took those children to church. And some of the older ones know it, that when the creeks was overflowing its banks and the bridges were washed out back in the hills where they lived. And she took dry clothes and carried those children. And let them wade the creek and carried the dry clothes to the other side. And let them put their dry clothes back on so they could go to church. You know what's going to happen to a bunch of folks I'm preaching to? Mamaw Davis is going to stand up in judgment and condemn you because you didn't go over whatever little flimsy excuse you could come up with. Hallelujah. Man, I'm feeling like preaching in here tonight. Amen. That's the unfeigned faith. Amen. And many, many, many of her children and grandchildren are saved and in the house of God here today. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I need to preach to somebody tonight. Man, you need to get in the game. You need to get some skin in the game. You need to raise some boys to be men. You need to toughen up a little bit yourself. And come on, let's build a house with our hands. The wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it away with her hands. What I call remembrance, the unfeigned faith. Praise God. Courtney, where you at, sis? Now, you may not know, but some of your folks already know what I'm going to tell. April played that little song. I don't know how many thousands of people you sang to, but when I listened, I thought, boy, I'm glad I know that girl. Yeah, I'm glad I know her. I know when I was in state FFA convention, there was a lot of people there, and they didn't ask me to sing. I probably would have. I probably tried. They didn't ask me to. Amen. But she was a good light and a good witness. Now, y'all know how I am. It's just the way I am. I God's given me a good memory, and I thank God for it. I remember those days when they didn't have a pastor at Marble City, and I would ride in that pasture seat. That's before, you know, I've said this two or three times here lately, and I like it because it makes a point. That was way, way back in the 1900s. Way, way, way back there, before cell phones. I'm honest. I remember the first time I ate pizza. I do remember the first time I ate pizza. Yeah. Brother Bruce said, "We're going to go uptown and get a pizza." Him and Sister Lorelei's young folks. I don't think they were even married. And somebody said, "Pizza? What's that?" And he said, "It's this round thing." You don't remember that, do you? Or maybe you do. In that little parsonage, I remember you saying, "It's got this on it." So, yeah. And they went up and got one, and we've been eating pizza ever since. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But I remember that old truck didn't have seat belts in it. They was working on Skelly Bypass. Because I remember when we got to Marble City Church that night, you stood up and testified about it. And I still didn't understand. But you said, my little boy, I was probably about 5 years old, opened the door on the pickup. I can faintly in my mind remember it. Going down the road there. Are you having trouble hearing, Brother Troy? See, y'all see why we have trouble here. Some people, we blow their ears out. Some people can't hear. You know, we can't please everybody. But I opened that door and like to fell out. My dad reached over and grabbed me and pulled me back in. 66 Chevrolet pickup, I believe. That's what that was. We got to church. He was praising God for keeping his hand on that little boy that didn't fall out. And I don't know. I don't have this good a memory. But I probably this is what happened. Probably that probably spawned that testimony. I can't say for sure the exact same time. But I know times in that little church at Marble City that Sister Irene Masterson would get up. And when she did, and I would say, oh, I hope she tells it. I hope she tells it. I hope she tells it. I heard it. I've heard her tell it different places, but that's where I heard it the first time. And I know when Brother Rogers passed away, and as I have a pastor, he was driving down there midweek services preaching for him. That's when I first remember her telling that story. But sis, if it hadn't have been for that, you would have never sang to those thousands of people. For you would not be born. your mother sitting beside you would not be born. Brother Theron would not be born. And all these five beautiful children sitting here would not be born. Amen. Amen. Sister Elena, you would not have been born if it hadn't been for what I'm telling about right now. Because what I'm doing, I'm trying to stir you up. I call to remembrance. Man, I've seen you go through some things this past year that I thought about again. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Amen. Because I knew him. Because Colleen was sitting right there in the same service too. And she said, one day I was praying. One day I was going about my work. Amen. The only way the kids had to go to school, Brother Dave, was to cross the railroad trestle. There was no road across the creek. Amen. The children crossed the train trestle, the bridge, to go to school. Amen. So the parents took them down and made sure they got across. And they went back when school was out to make sure they got back across safely. Amen. But one day God says to Sister Irene, she said, go to the railroad trestle right now and meet Colleen. And she says, God, it ain't time yet. School ain't out, but God or the Holy Ghost or all three of them or somebody said, go and go now. Amen. Oh, I heard her tell it. Man, I wish I could tell it like she can. But she's already gone on to glory, so we got to tell it the best way we can. She said when she got to the railroad trestle, she saw her little girl get on the bridge on the other end. And about that time, the big Kansas City Southern topped up over the hill behind her. Hey, man, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Hey, man, she said, I heard her say it many times. I got on the other end and I said, run, Colleen, run, Colleen, run as fast as you can, honey, come on. Amen. And then her testimony was, I pulled her off of the tracks just as the big train swooped right behind her. Hallelujah. Amen. What are you saying? I am calling to remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelt in your great, great grandmother. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm feeling God in here tonight because I believe that same faith is still in you and it'll be in you. Teach that little girl the ABCs of Christianity and raise her up, telling her she grew up in a family that knew God and knew the power of God and knew the demonstration of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, a call to remembrance, the unfeigned faith of Amram and Jochebed. Hallelujah. Praise God. They taught Moses the ABCs. One day, Moses, they're going to come and get you. I know it's already been a miracle, Moses. I understand. I didn't put you in the river. Moses' daughter come along to bathe and found you. Because she has to, he's just a baby, so she has to tell him all that. And pulled you out of the bulrushes, and your big sister was standing down there watching. And as soon as she saw that happen, she ran down to Pharaoh's daughter and said, I'm these are the ABCs right now, okay? This is my mind. What's what I think happened? She ran down and said, would you like me to get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby? And she said, well, of course. Amen. And then she starts paying the bill. And so Moses, Jochebed has her own son. Because this is where it goes back to the prophecy that I preached to you about this morning. Man, I'm telling you, this is not just ooey-gooey, feel-good Mother's Day stuff. This is good stuff I'm preaching to you tonight. If you'll apply this and make it practical, we will raise up a mighty church. Praise God. He's probably...
Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Praise God. Tell it.
Are we going to do it, church? We've got to tell it again and again and again and again. Sister Irene's voice is silenced. Hallelujah. I can't think of the name of that cemetery up there, but Dwight Mission, that's where they're at. Praise God. But we can tell it, and we must, and we must. Hallelujah. I want these children and great-grandchildren to hear this so many times that when they grow up, that they can tell it because they heard me tell it, because I heard her tell it. This is not something I read in a book. These were people I know, and they're y'all's kin folks, and it happened. It really happened. Whew. Yeah, we've heard Irene's side of it, and we've heard Colleen's side of it. The other part of the miracle was Colleen, when she tells it, she said, I never heard Mama. I couldn't hear the train. She said, I had no idea that train was behind me. So I just seen Mama on the other end saying, come on. Hallelujah. She ran as fast as she could. And God spared her life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I called remembrance the unfeigned faith of Irene Masterson and Colleen Rogers. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I've worshiped with so many good folks, so many great people down through the years. God help us. Why can't we? Why? Brother Todd, why? Why are we raising up? And I just called your name. I don't mean to single you out, but I worry because we're raising up a generation in these last days when I use this word again, bucking you up like Timothy was, like Paul was Timothy. Therefore, my son, endure hardness. And some of you can't hardly do it. Some of us, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what kind of persecution is coming. But I know one thing. If you was living in Iran right now, or if you was living in Syria right now, I'm telling you, it'd be a different story, wouldn't it? But any little thing, I mean, they go under the threat of being arrested, but they go anyway. Amen. And we don't go if we're tired, or if we have this, or if we have that, or if we're just nervous, or we had a bad day, or we just needed to relax, or come on. Therefore, thou therefore, my son, endure hardness. Moses, it's not always going to be easy, but the ABCs are. One day, Pharaoh's daughter is going to come and get you, and the chariots are going to roll in down here in this work camp, and they're going to load you up, and they're going to educate you in the University of Egypt, and they're going to give you the best and the brightest. They may even teach you how to do brain surgery. Come on now. Ancient Egyptians done it. They're going to get you a good education. You're going to fight Pharaoh's battles. You are going to be the man. And they did that. Amen. But I believe, and this is, I'm bringing this to a close. I need somebody to get me a song. I believe every day. And this is, I'm telling you, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, you parents with younger children, Sister Amanda, that boy is going to grow up faster than you can say who done it. Right now, when you're, you know, like they said this morning, when the toys won't run and the nose won't stop, you worry, how are you going to get through this? I mean, I'm telling you, there's no telling how many washing machines we wore out. We washed diapers. I mean, again, that's way back in the 1900s. Thank God he gave me a wonderful, godly wife, and it was hard. Her work was never done. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, this is not boastful, and I ain't always been a preacher, and I wasn't a preacher then. But there was times, the revival I was called to preach in was with T.C. and Eddie Yates, and that was third week. And we'd already been about 2.5 weeks, Brother Havis Crawford had been in revival at Sepulpa. We went for 5 weeks and never missed a night. She didn't. I missed one night because I'm one of their nights of revival because I was working late. But over 5 weeks, we went every night. We just had one little baby then. That was that little short period of time when we just had one. It went from 1 to 3. And I'm telling you, it wasn't always easy. And there was things we had to walk off with dirty dishes in the sink. I'm preaching to the mamas tonight. Is that all right, men? Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something else. It won't hurt some of you to change a diaper now and then. I got so good at it when we was using cloth diapers that I have washed them out in the stool. That wasn't just mama's job. It would have been, and I didn't do it very many times. But sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. And it won't hurt you. I know you work hard and you make a living, but let me tell you something. You are the man. She is the weaker vessel. And you need to help her. And you need to support her. And then you need to say, honey, come on. I'll help you get these kids ready. I know we're going to be 30 minutes late, but let's go. And when I get back, I know I got to get it. I know, y'all, I know. Thank the Lord. It's not, you know, my job's crazy now and I work a lot of hours, but I don't have to get up hours before daylight like some of you do. But there was a time in my life I did. There was a space of time in my life I saw my little boy at church awake on Sunday night, and I did not see him again awake until Wednesday night at church. Why? Because I left way before he woke up and got home way after he went to bed. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I did. Amen. I don't know what to do. Y'all are acting like you want me to preach some more. Y'all want me to tell you some more things? Are y'all ready to? I lost track of time. Forgot what time I started. But I have a feeling I preached longer than I did last Sunday night. Why don't we stand right now while they get a song? Could we just worship for a little bit? Just lift up the name of Jesus for a little bit. Tell your children, your children's children, another generation, all those that are far off. Hallelujah. God's done a work. There's a lot of things I could talk about. Thank God for Mamaw Davis. Thank God for Sister Colleen. Thank God for Granny Walsley that reinforced what my folks was teaching. I'm glad they wasn't picking it apart. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something else while I'm at it, okay? Amen. When you young boys are picking a wife, just because she is beautiful, and just because she shows a little interest, does not necessarily mean that it's the will of God. You better pray through till you know for sure. Because I want to tell you something. If one is trying to go for God and one is picking away, and I have asked some of them the question sometimes. Okay. They got an experience. They got saved. I mean, y'all know, 2 or 3 weeks, was it 3 weeks ago I preached on outreach? There ain't another man alive, I don't think, that's any more outreach minded. It is a whosoever will. This is not an hour four and no more and just a family cooped up. That's not it. That's not it at all. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I do not believe in missionary dating. And I do not believe it's the will of God. When they come in and get saved and get established and you see the fruits of God working in their life, then okay. They are no better. And matter of fact, I can show you cases where some of those done a whole lot better than the should have been Timothy's. That knew the ABCs. So I'm not lopsided. I've seen it all. But I'm just telling you. Even if they have a good solid experience. And they're going to be around grandma that don't believe. And they're going to be around grandpa that don't believe. And they're going to be around somebody else that wants them to do this. And wants them to do that. And wants them to try this. And wants them to wear that. I'm telling you. It's a battle that you're choosing for yourself. That you would not have to have. Amen. Come on now. I'm telling you, it's hard enough as it is with everything. You can just make your life a whole lot more complicated. And I know people tonight, lots of people that are brokenhearted, that their heart should have been a Timothy. They should have been our song leaders. They should have been our missionaries. They should have been. Oh, hallelujah. Am I doing all right, church? What about it, elders? What about our elder sisters here? Am I doing okay? You want to raise up them boys to be boys? You want to raise up them girls to be ladies? To be in submission to their own husband? To love the church, love the work of God, work in the Christian school, help educate the children? It's the ABCs. I can't get away from that. Man, I've preached so much today. I'm just almost... And I should be preached out, Brother Jimmy. Instead of preaching out, I just feel full. It's still rolling. We have a prophecy. The prophecy of the king, amen, Lemuel, that his mother taught to him the prophecy. I believe with all my heart that man was Solomon and that mother was Bathsheba. She said, he's the son of my vows. And before you get to verse 10, before she says, who can find a virtuous woman? She says, kings don't drink wine. Kings don't go after strange women. I want to ask you tonight, are you raising a little king? She could do it with confidence because David had told her. I'm reiterating this because some of you wasn't here today. And I'm not taking long here. But she could affirmatively hold to that promise because David had told her, my son Solomon. Bathsheba, your son Solomon will sit on my throne. Praise God. So when Nathan the prophet hears that Adonijah's made himself king and is coming back, David, laying in the bed on his deathbed, bedridden with hard chills, gets up and says, oh, hallelujah. But Bathsheba with her faith. This is Lois. This is Eunice. This is Jochebed. This is all, she goes right in there with them. She goes to David's bedside and says, "My Lord, O King, did not you say that my son Solomon would sit on your throne?" He said, "Oh yes, I did." He said, "Your son Adonijah's coming, and he's made himself king." David gets up out of the bed, gets his healing right there on the spot. Amen. I guess, and he lived a good. You read it. He lived a good while longer after that. But he installed Solomon on the king to sit on. What are you saying, preacher? I know the providence of God. It would have happened. Solomon would have been king, no matter what kind of stir. But they'd already been through that once. You hear me? I know I've had you standing for a while. They'd already been through that once with Absalom. And it caused a great civil war and a lot of bloodshed and a lot of men died. What Bathsheba done, because she claimed her promise and went before her king, like I encourage y'all to do this morning. And I'm encouraging you now, she saved a lot of lives and a lot of civil war. Amen. By the time Adonijah got back to town with his entourage, Solomon was already on the king's mule. He was already on the king's throne. And it was already proclaimed in town that Solomon was the king. I'm preaching to you. I don't know why I felt like doing that. I went back over that tonight. But if you are holding a baby, he is a king. Those little girls are princesses. Raise them like they are. Keep them in church. Teach them the ABCs. Call to remembrance the unfeigned faith of their ancestors. And stir up about every Wednesday night and about every Sunday and about every Sunday night. That's not too much. Stir it up. Hallelujah. Praise. I don't know what to do, y'all. I don't know. I know I got to quit. I know I got to. I've got to. What are y'all going to sing, sister? All right, sing it. Why don't somebody come on down? Let's just pray for a while. I hope I haven't preached too long. I preached myself past an altar call. Sing it. Come on, let's seek God.